Yes. Hi. It's lovely to be here. Coming here, I came from just outside Brighton, and I kind of knew what to expect because I look at the CareLinks emails. And I kind of knew what to expect, but the first 2 hours have just been electric. It's just been absolutely brilliant. And I said to Anna over the break, I said, I just don't know what to say now because my mind is so full of so much stuff. And actually, when I finished preparing this last night, there was already far too much stuff. And the first thing of any communicator must be actually to squeeze it down to what you really want to say. So forgive me, I'm feeling enthusiastic and I'm going to ramble on. I have no doubt whatsoever. I'm going to talk about communications and I've got all sorts of ideas I want us to bounce around. Some of it is going to be sit back and listen, and some of it I'm going to need you to participate, because if you don't, I'll be standing here looking right, like a right lemon, which maybe I'll do anyway. Anyway, communicating. I want us to think about communicating amongst ourselves, okay, and particularly amongst experts in the Bible, because that's quite challenging. Expert students, yes, we've heard about that, how in our ecclesias it can be a real problem to actually communicate, because everybody knows so much, and they're so incapable of talking to each other about it. I think that's true. But I don't want to spend a lot of time on that. I want to spend more time looking at how we communicate with other people. Because we want to tell out my soul the glories of his word. Tell out my soul the glories of his word. Not just use a few words, but to communicate, to actually make a connection with other people. And to my shame, I've spent 23, 24 years now communicating. I work in the media, and I've been telling out my soul all about business, all about commerce, all about things that are utterly and completely irrelevant in terms of God's plan. And I spend relatively little time communicating what really matters, which is God's word. So I'm going to speak to you as a communicator from the world, because I know that you're much better than I am at communicating the word of God. And I hope to just encourage you a little bit further along that way. Okay, let's move on. There we are. Talk a little bit about background. I want to get some goals from you. What would you like to learn in the next couple of hours? We'll look at some Bible examples, of course. We'll look at Jesus' examples, of course, but relatively briefly, because you know them all far better than I can explain them to you. You know how the Bible communicates, the different styles, and you know how Jesus does it. I then want to spend a lot of time looking at how we actually manage the way we communicate, managing our messages. How do we actually marshal our resources to make that work? And what can we learn from Scripture to drive that process? I then want to look at communicating outside our native tongue. And I love that a bit. I think it's great, because you have no idea what people are saying about you. So it's much, much better. A little bit about new media, and then some questions. I don't propose killing you with PowerPoint, but I, as Duncan well knows, he's left the room actually, he knows what's coming. There will be a few PowerPoint slides. So, how's it all been for you? How is it communicating with brothers and sisters, with the rest of the world? Any experiences you want to share? Anybody want to say how it's gone for them? Has it been good? Has it been bad? Do any of you do it? Do any of you communicate? I hear silence at the moment. But do you know what? I'm learning something already, because you're communicating in body language. Tell me about your experiences.
I don't seem to talk to a lot of people, but when I have done, I went back and forth to Croydon with bucks much more than I do now. I found it much easier to talk to dark people than to white people. And I think it's because I felt in myself that I knew that most of them believed in God. And when I have spoken to them and said something to them, and said, "You believe in God?" "Oh, yes." "Oh, yes, yes."
Okay, so I don't know if you're hearing that. What I'm getting from Gladys is the idea, who we talk to makes a difference. You know, we might have actually got an idea of this person being open to us communicating, and therefore we're halfway there. You talk to somebody else, it's very different.
You invite people sort of listen to you because it's manners.
Because it's polite to do so, yes. Okay, any other experiences? Yep, Pete.
I put my wife on this. My wife's been in England for 3 years now. She's from Sydney. And she finds it very, very difficult in this country to get to know anyone. She says no one in this country opens up in the same way that people do in Australia.
You tell her to come up north.
That's probably very true. People help themselves, people keep their lives to themselves.
So we've all experienced that. The difficulty, actually, you know, the barriers come down, people clamp up, they don't want to communicate with you. You can try to communicate to them, but they don't want to hear it, actually. It clamps down. A couple of others, just pops on up here. Yep, Lorraine?
I find often people who have a real need are willing to communicate about their friends,
okay, so we can identify targets that are more receptive than others. Guy?
You find you communicate more within your own established network of communication rather than trying to go outside of that. In other words, people you know, team members, family members of work.
See, I'm a real oddity. I'm exactly the opposite. I love talking to people. I have no idea who they are. No idea, no preconceptions, nothing. Blank sheet, let's just go from here. So we're all different, but you're right. Sometimes it's easier to talk to those we know. Steve?
I found that comparing some periods of my life, I've been able to communicate better than others, and I found often it coincides with times when I need help from other people. Then it's almost as if I have let down my barriers, and all of a sudden, just as Lorraine was saying, other people, I found the experience quite a lot more people receiving it.
Okay.
And I think
it's very interesting. What's in our mind influences the way that we communicate. It will make us more receptive, possibly. And Peter?
I find that it's hard to communicate with people whose desire is to form a conclusion.
How do I write that?
And you know. Yeah, as I said earlier, I am a journalist. And one more, I want somebody to tell me about how difficult it can be, how argumentative people can be. The problem. Yeah.
We talked about language, didn't we? This morning, and how difficult it is to communicate. And so before I went to Russia, I learned one word. When I got off of the plane, the first thing I saw was a Russian about 6'19" and he stopped his chair with a big rifle. And he poked it just under my chin. He said, Spasiba. That's my one word in Russia.
That was a good guess, wasn't it?
One in Latvia, Aldios. And that works as well. So I have two words, one Latvian and one Russian. But that's communication, I suppose.
Do you know what they mean?
Okay. Very good. Lots of energy coming back from you. That's great. I love it. So we're identifying some difficulties and some opportunities, and that's really good. Nobody's sitting here saying it's impossible to talk to other people coherently about the word, but you're saying, yes, there are ways we can make it work and things that we find difficult. Okay, let's just move on. And that's what you told me, or at least that's what I've decided to write. What about the objectives? What would you like to get out? What would you like me to tell you?
How to communicate.
Okay. You've just done it. Okay.
It's really hard. I think how to put my thoughts.
Yeah.
I find some people I can't communicate.
Right. Can I put this word up?
This is a rather meeting, but I certainly need to he really was making no progress. And another brother came up who was a very tough brother. And look here, son, he put his hand on, and you know that that was what that man needed. Somebody like that. And he came into the truth.
We all vary, but we want to release all the potential that we have, yes? So that we can connect with more people. Because probably this idea, you know, we pick our groups, you know, maybe it's people on buses, maybe it's people we know, maybe it's people we don't know. How can we expand that, connect with more people? Okay? Overcome the fear. Okay. Okay, no problem.
We've got a friend called Frankie, and we were going for a walk, and Frankie started talking to strangers, complete strangers, and we were standing on top of the hillside, and she was there for about half an hour, and she was opened up on the truth, and talking about the truth about half an hour, waiting for her, and watching. But she, out, just straight from cold, she could go straight into it and get the conversation going. I don't know how she does.
Okay, one more.
We're specialist people using specialist language. When you consider that most people seem to me to be spiritually illiterate,
yeah,
to use a kind of language that they understand rather than the jargon that we use with each other.
Absolutely. Does anybody want to know how to cope with argumentative people? Maybe. So we haven't got that, have we? Shout louder.
You'll need it.
Okay.
Argumentative.
We need to kiss. We need to keep it simple, stupid.
Okay, that's great. I can go now. Love it. That's really good. That's really good. Okay.
I think it's one answer, isn't it? Keep it simple.
I don't know. We'll think of what the alternative to stupid is. I'm sure there must be one. Okay. So, there we go. Sweetheart. We love each other. Okay, good. I want to just give you a few little thoughts just to get things going. Communicating clearly. We know it's all about emulating Jesus, emulating Christ. Jesus, the best ever communicator, the master communicator, we know that. Born in a barn, lived in a ghetto, a common labourer by trade, okay? And yet here is somebody whose messages, whose communications change the world. And every day, right now, they're being repeated to millions of people. Yeah, whether it's our community or beyond, of course, it's being repeated. So this man clearly had the ability to communicate. We know that. He did it with simple stories. He took old truths, things that had been known for a long time, and he used them to unravel all the complexities of religion in that time. He was a trumpet blast. He cut through all the nonsense straight to the point. So simple and direct. Yes, that's how Jesus communicated. But he was mysterious. He was unfathomable as well, wasn't he? He was spiritual, but he wasn't religious. Some paradoxes here. Lived a life of total freedom. We were thinking just before the break about how free are we? How free should we be? Completely free is how we should be. And we should be able to communicate in that way. And yet we don't. Why is that? Why do we bind ourselves up in some strange way? And yet Jesus walked in total obedience. So whilst he was free, he was obedient. He was free to be obedient. And that's the mindset we need to have. Freedom of communication, and yet obeying everything God wants us to do. Jesus challenged public life. We need to learn from the things he did. So, yeah, lots of ideas. I could talk for ages about the styles that Jesus used. But what about this communication? We want to communicate clearly. Why is that? It's because, as you've already said to me, communication terrifies us. And yet it's crucial to our lives. It can mess things up totally. mess up relationships, mess up other people's developments. It can cause so many problems. It can disconnect and undo all that God has done. It can break down those connections. But if it's done positively, it can bring together. It can move people towards God. And that's what we want to do. So how do we do it? Communicating clearly. How do we do that? Can we do it? Yes, we can. We follow the Master. Jesus showed us how to do it. And there is a formula. There is a formula. You can look at how Jesus communicated and you can say, okay, what did he do? X plus Y plus Z equals communication. And that's what we need to do. So how can we do that? Because ever since the Tower of Babel, wow, God, that was so powerful, wasn't it? Just language collapsed all the connection between human communities. That got in the way, but it went beyond that. It was even within languages. We all get into our little cliques and clusters and fail to communicate. So the Tower of Babel made this challenge, which God has set us to grapple with, using the resources that he's given us and the guidance that he's provided. So how do we do that? There's only one way that we do it. It's exactly like Jesus did. And this is where I'm exhorting you to do something that I don't necessarily do. But we just need to be ourselves. That's how we communicate. We communicate ourselves. Because then people can connect and relate to us. It's what Jesus did. He communicated himself. Everything that was him was communicated. Nothing he said wasn't him. How often do we do that? We adopt a persona, like I am now, presenting to you. It's not how I am, but I'm trying to connect by doing it in a different way. If I just did it as I am, maybe it would be even more effective, but I didn't do it. It's that paradox that we have. So we need to simply be ourselves to get the message across. And Jesus' techniques work in this society where information, we suffer information saturation, don't we? TV, radio, internet, on your phone, you know, where is it? Wretched thing, it's probably got some messages on it now. All the time there's information flowing around, but Jesus' style can cut straight through that. We know that. And yet Jesus was horribly misunderstood, completely and utterly misunderstood by most people. That makes you think, doesn't it? What does that mean? The master communicator, the best communicator ever in the world, horribly misunderstood by most people. Takes it back to God. It's God's plan. God will allow the understanding in those he wants to understand. God will enable us to communicate to those people that he wants to hear the message. And sometimes, and very often, and to answer one of the questions that was asked, yes, we have to say, do you know, I've tried, I've given you 30 seconds, I've given you a minute, it's just not going to happen. I've done my bit, I've done the best I can. Or do we, out of sheer determination and arrogance, keep pushing that person even though they don't want to hear, and it's patently obvious that God isn't talking to them at the moment? We put the little seed there. The idea's there. God will make it grow. We mustn't be so arrogant. So how did Jesus communicate? It was all about himself. And when we were talking earlier about how do we communicate with brothers and sisters abroad, even within our own communities, there's only one word that actually matters and that Jesus used all the time. And I was staggered that we didn't use it ourselves. Exactly. Love. It's the only way it works. People will pay attention and listen if you're giving them something. That connection of love is how you get the message across. Most of the time, tragically, we don't do that because we're trying to make them listen rather than loving them to bits and giving them something beautiful that actually they will grasp with both hands. So, there we go. Let's try and connect in a loving sort of way. Let's communicate in a loving way. Because if we don't, what are we? We're just a clanging gong. Yeah? Bang, bang, bang. So what? Who cares? A And that is not how we want to communicate God's message. So, that isn't how we're going to communicate, like a clanging gong. How do we make sure that we are communicating in love? How can you do that when you don't even know the person you're talking to? You can't. You've got to know them. You've got to know something about them so that you can tell them something in a loving way. I can't love a brick. It doesn't tell me anything. I can't respond to it. There's no way of connecting. So we need, first of all, to communicate, do what Jesus did, listen. We know we need to listen. Proverbs. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, listening, but delights in airing his own opinions. His own opinions. We try all the time to convey God's opinions, but perhaps if we listened to that other person first, we would be able to marshal God's opinions that are relevant to that person. Little story for you. I love this one. I read it last night and I thought, oh, that's such a brilliant. I thought it was going to be really boring to begin with, so stick with it all the way through. The end game is worth it. A man goes to the doctor and he says, "Doctor, my wife's hearing isn't as good as it used to be. What should I do about her hearing?" Some of you know this one, I can tell. The doctor replies, "Okay, here's a little test. You can find out to be sure how her hearing is." Try saying that quickly. "The next time your wife is standing in the kitchen making dinner, move to about 15 feet behind her, big house, and ask her a question. If she doesn't respond, keep moving closer and asking the question until she hears you." The man goes home and finds his wife in the kitchen. That's unusual. So he moves to about 15 feet behind her and asks, "Hi, honey, what's for dinner?" There's no response, so he moves a bit closer. Yes, it's an American website. "Honey, what's for dinner?" Still no response, so the man moves even closer. "Honey, what is for dinner?" Still no response. So he stands right behind her. "Honey, what's for dinner?" But she turns around and she says, "Well, for the fourth time, I said it's chicken." That worked better than I thought. That's really good. Just another way of looking at it, George Bernard Shaw apparently once said, "The greatest problem with communicating is the illusion that it has been accomplished. We think we've got the message across because we've said it. But did we listen to what the person's response was? Did we feel the response from them?" I could talk here a little bit about ways in which God communicates, but we'll move on. Time is precious. Okay, so how are we going to do this? I've talked a little bit about the ideas around it. How are we going to communicate more effectively? You tell me how the Bible shows us to communicate more effectively. What from the Bible helps us to communicate more effectively? Just a quick few ideas would be really good. Does the Bible inspire you and help you to communicate better? First of all, the Bible, and then we'll look at what ideas from Jesus. Anything in there that helps you at all? Sorry?
Agriculture.
Okay, excellent. Say again? Object lessons.
While you were talking, you said Jesus was a good communicator, but a lot of people just didn't understand what he was talking about.
Exactly.
He was selective in the communication.
Okay.
Those who had the ears to hear.
Yes.
The disciples had to come to him and say, "What did you mean by that?"
Yeah. Okay. Which is not what you're getting this morning. From me, anyways. Yeah.
Power,
people.
Yeah, but there were only certain people that needed to hear it.
Yes.
Which is interesting. It's choosing.
Somewhere that, you know, the number of questions that you need to ask, you want to present something, there's all kinds of good master, and you turn the chair, I might be all good. And all of a sudden, you've got right in the middle of a really deep...
Because the question reveals what's in your mind, of course. It's listening. Okay, so what do you want to know? Where else do you get sort of ideas in, from the Bible? Say again, Duncan.
It says that Jesus taught the people as they were able to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
In other words, not just telling them what info he had inside him, but telling them what they demanded.
Okay. Okay.
His communication wasn't just verbal, but it was actions.
Gotcha. Okay, that's good. Okay. It's interesting that you've responded in that way. When I thought about this, I was thinking in terms of the language used in the Bible, the scriptures, the Old Testament in particular. Dave?
What I was saying was, I think the Bible does have an
I think you're absolutely right. I think
tell them what you're going to tell them, tell them, and then tell them what you've told them.
Yeah.
The emphasis, I think Harry Whittaker uses that in the Genesis, right? Take now your son, your only son, who you love. And it's boom, boom, boom.
But isn't the whole of the Old Testament repetition? Yeah? Do the right thing. Follow my ways. Obey my laws. Do the right thing. Follow my laws. Story after story after story. Repetition, hammering it home. The Aldershot method. I think God knew that one before Aldershot. It's keep repeating it. So repetition. Very clear injunctions. Very clear messages. These are the Ten Commandments. Do these things. Absolutely crystal clear. No argument about those. What about dramatic stories and events? Wow, huge, colossal things like creation and floods and exoduses from other nations. Massive things. Poetry, poetic language, different types of language for different people. You might love the poetry in the Bible. Others might find it really difficult. Different ways of communicating. That's what I wanted to get there. And then if we move on... okay, that's a list of communication in the Bible. All different ways. Yeah, including confrontation, lots of confrontation, lots of verbal communication from God, dreams, angels, all sorts of ways. What about Jesus' example specifically? I describe Jesus as the master communicator. So what's the techniques he's used? You've already mentioned parables, yeah? So I'll give you that one. Parables, examples, yeah?
Lots of questions.
Yeah, questions. What else did Jesus do? Yeah. 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 Okay. Definitely. Tactile communication. Now that's a whole separate talk, but I think you're absolutely right. It's not just the words, it's touch, but it's also the actions as well, isn't it? So
needs first.
Yeah. How do you know that? Yeah? More than once?
Yeah,
it's interesting. Absolutely. Okay, so lots of ideas coming out there about the way Jesus communicate. And you can think of lots and lots more, and that's really good because we're going to use them. Simple parables, cutting parables towards the opponent. Rebukes, they're in there, instructions. Parables to convey messages. Lots of ways of doing it. So, if that's the case, how do we communicate? Do we do all that? Do we do all that all the time? Do we even try to? We ought to, I think, speak with grace. I think that would be a really good starting point. The way that we speak, in a loving way. We established that was a good way to speak to people, in a loving way. So how do we speak with grace? Any of you know Grace? There's Grace. You know Grace Clements? Grace Clements, young sister from Hawley. I don't know, what is she, 18, 19, 20, something like that. Grace's young sister. How do we speak to Grace? This really helps me. Do we talk to her as if she's a sister or a friend? Absolutely, we love her. Do we speak warmly and with love? Yes. With familiarity. We know her. We're familiar. We've understood a little bit about her. So we can talk on her level and in about things she's interested in. Come on. Okay. Confidently. She's a friend. I can speak to you confidently. We're friends. Humour. Did Jesus use humour? Sincerely, we walk in the kingdom road together, yeah? This is within our community, yeah? Okay, that's good. Do we speak to her as if she's Jesus? Should do. She's a sister, not Jesus. Am I speaking to you? Like with Jesus? That's an interesting thought. We ought to. But sometimes we don't, do we? We speak with indifference. And this is to Grace, you know, my sister within my ecclesia. Without interest. I'm not really that bothered, you know, if we get to 1:10, I can have lunch, it's good. Bluntly, sharply, aggressively, dismissively. We can do all of this all the time. And what effect does that have? It has an effect. The way we talk has a big effect. It upsets people, pushes them away. Have you ever felt frustrated by what people say to you? Have you ever felt yourself confident and knocked because of what people have said to you unwittingly? Damages their faith. Disappoints others who witness it. That is such an important one. And it saddens us in hindsight. And what really matters is it upsets God. This isn't what he wants us to do, is it? He wants us to communicate with love. So, it's not easy. We're all busy. And our emotions can overtake us. We are human and we're fallible. And we focus a little bit too much on what we want to say. I want to make my point, and I'm going to say it, and I can, because I'm at the front. We might ignore the impact it'll have on the other person. And in this modern age, we could just ping off an email. How many people have done that? Just sent an email and regretted it as soon as you've hit send. I actually hate hitting that send button now. I read it again and again. I know this isn't right. What is it? I can't see what's wrong with it because I know so many times I have communicated in a way that's not being good. We don't give it a priority it merits. God wants us to communicate his word all the time in everything we do, not just on Sunday. We established that before the break. Our whole life is doing this. Every communication we do must be prioritised in this way. The Bible tells us this. Let your conversation be always, always full of grace. Not just to brothers and sisters, not just on Sunday, always. Seasoned with salt, yet keeping it pure. For a reason. For a purpose. So that you may know how to answer everyone. So that we can give God's message to everyone. How are we going to do that? Interesting graphic. Power of the tongue. You all know what James 3 tells us. Small part of the body, and yet your spark can cause so much trouble. It corrupts the whole person. Sets the whole course of his life on fire. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? What we say can do that to us and to others. And yet, by contrast, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. You've heard those speakers. but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. So how do we speak with grace? Well, we've got a habit in our hearts to begin with. Okay, you all know this. It's obvious. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns and scripture songs with gratitude. We're back to that, thank you Lord for saving me, and the way I express that is to love all those around me in the things that I say. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, communicating, whatever you do is seen by others, and do it all in the name of Jesus. Would the Lord approve of the way that you speak to other people? So, this is the end of the talky bit coming up. Our words speak volumes about us. Every time we speak, people notice, whether they're the direct person we're talking to or just an observer. God hears every time. So do your words build people up? Your communications, they build them up, or do they tear them down? Do your words show the love of Christ? Or do they actually drive people away? And one of the hardest things for our community is that the harder we try, sometimes the further we push people away. And that's a big dilemma. So do they show the love of Christ? Because if they show that, we know that's infectious. That's what people are likely to catch. Or do we present arguments just entrenching? Okay, as somebody said earlier, how can we improve? How can we do it better? Right, let's have a little thing. How can we improve? We really need to decide what we want to say, don't we? And we have to make sure that we deliver it in a good way. Let's have a look at a conversation. Let's see what can happen in a conversation. Anybody want to play a game? Yeah? Yeah, it is dangerous. Yeah. Anybody want to play a game? I need somebody just to come have a chat to me about something. Just a little chat. Just a quick chat. I just want you to... I want to tell you about what I did last week. Does anybody want to come and just talk to me about it? Yep, well done. Well done. I love that. The organiser has no alternative. Yes. Okay. Now, for this to work, I want you to ask me, or I want to tell you, a little bit about what I did last week, which was going to Ukraine with Duncan, to Bible school there. And I just want you to observe what happens in this discussion, okay? And see if we can get something out of it. It's a gamble. It's a risk. It might work or it might not. But anyway, off we go. So, hang on. I need some... Anybody got a stopwatch on their watch? Because I don't want to go on forever, but I want to do it for a certain length of time. I just want 3 minutes. Here we go. There we are. It's all right. I've got it. So, hi, Steve.
Hi, Thomas. I got an answer from your email saying you'd been to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Tell me about what were you doing there?
I went there with Care Links to do a Bible school.
Right. So who was there?
Well, there were quite a lot of people, really. I think there was about 45, actually.
Tell me, where did they come from?
They came from all over, really. I think some of them were from Ukraine, some were from some other countries. But there were quite a lot of people there.
Do you speak their language? How did you communicate?
No, I don't speak their language at all. It was a real problem, actually. It was hard. We did it with a translator. A translator did most of it, to be honest. Yeah.
So what sort of subjects were you talking about?
We did a whole bunch of talks on different things from the Bible. I think we did something on identity and something on humility.
How do you mean identity? Tell me more about that.
It was kind of talking about, I think it was one of the passages in Ephesians, I think it was, and how we're how we're part of Jesus. I mean, it was something that they kind of listened to. Yeah.
did you get questions from them?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't understand any of the questions, to be honest, but the translator... the translator sort of passed the questions on, and I tried to answer them as best as I could.
But what was the weather like out there? I mean, we've had it cold over here. I mean, was it even colder?
It was quite snowy and cold. It was pretty bad. Really, you know. So you get the gist of it. Thank you, Steve. Okay, don't run away. Okay, so what worked? What worked there? Yeah? What was good about that communication that we were having? Did we connect?
Steve was persistent.
He was fantastic. He was really good, actually. What was it, good communication? Do you think that was good? No, okay. So what was wrong with it? Why didn't it work? Why not? From whom?
From you.
From me? I was doing the best I could. No, I wasn't. Lack of enthusiasm, okay, so you noticed that. Huh?
One-sided.
Very one-sided. I mean, I was listening to his questions and I was trying to answer them as best I could, but, yeah, you wanted more from me, didn't you? And I wasn't giving a lot, was I? I was very closed down.
Was the only word
I used. It's not particularly attractive and appealing, is it? Okay. And sorry? I looked bored. Yeah, body language was all wrong. Oh, I was evasive. I didn't really want to admit what had happened. Interesting. And actually, I wasn't really sure what had been going on, which is true. Okay.
I think you've forgotten what you were saying.
Yeah, my responses were almost uniformly negative. Okay. So how am I going to do better second time round? Because we're going to do it again. What can I do to make this work, do you think?
Well, you were covering the map.
Yeah.
Looking down.
Yeah.
Looking
I was trying to. Yeah. Okay. Nice bit of body language. That's going to help. Okay. Anything else? Show a bit of interest. Show a bit of enthusiasm. Yeah. Okay. Should we give it a whirl? I'm trying to remember how I was supposed to do it. I hate role play, especially when I organised it. Okay, yeah, go on then, let's go for it. Okay, stop that one, and here we go again. Okay, fire away.
Hi Carl, it's good to see you back.
Hi, Steve.
And I got your email saying you've been in Ukraine, so
yeah.
What's all that been about?
You know, it's absolutely phenomenal. I went out there, and I've been once before for a Bible school, but this year it's just absolutely sensational. It was so good. When we got there were 45 people there. They're from like all over the old Soviet Union, every country you can imagine, almost. And it just got better and better as the week went on. It's just great.
How did they all get it? All over the Soviet Union.
Well, they came a long way, up to 4 days by train, for some of them coming from Kazakhstan, Siberia. But do you know what? I mean, that makes you kind of enthused. They come to look at the Word of God and they put that effort into it. But it just got better and better as the week went on. I mean, it was just a great week.
But apart from saying "niet" in Russian, you don't speak any Russian, do you?
Sir? Well, I've learned 23 words, although Duncan will probably say that I don't have that many. But you can communicate in ways other than using words of language. You can communicate in hand signals. I mean, I came on an aeroplane, and then I came on the bus, and then I walked, and you get your messages across. And the most exciting thing about the whole week was when one of the members asked for baptism. It's just great.
But I mean, that's fine for aeroplanes and walking and that. How do you cope with concepts?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, concepts are difficult, and I was so lucky because the person who was asking for baptism was actually a 15-year-old who had studied English at school and was capable of communicating. And it was beautiful because we sat in that room, and to have this 15-year-old Russian girl tell me about her faith and how she had studied the Bible for 8 years with her parents every single day, and how it was difficult at school because none of her friends understood what she was saying. And yet she was telling me what her faith was, and I was just going, yeah, do you know what, I believe exactly the same. Gosh, I hadn't thought of looking at it that way. And she was actually exhorting me. And then we came to the baptism. I mean, it was just a whole wonderful day. And we went next door. And the baptism, it was in a little dark apartment and blah, 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 and on I go. So is that working better? Yeah. Thank you, Steve. So what worked that time? What was different?
You were enthusiastic.
I was enthusiastic, definitely. I gave more away. I wanted to say things. I was pushing Steve. And Steve kept asking me questions that were like, oh, what about the language? And I'm like, I don't want to talk about the language. I want to talk about how great this baptism was. And I trailed that question 3 times, trying to get Steve to ask me the question. So what was this great thing that happened? Because it was coming out of me. I wanted to project it. What else happened? What else did I do? Body language was good, yeah. Some other really simple things that you told me Jesus did. Yeah? What was I doing? Looked him in the eye, tried to. I'm not brilliant at eye contact, but yeah, I did.
You were reliving your experiences, which is
very, very personal. It was something I had actually done, how I felt, what it made me feel like. That's how we convey our messages. It made me feel like this. It's not just about words on a page. This is something real that really happened. What else? There were some other really big things I did there.
Sounds like a bit left doing.
Yep, passion, enthusiasm, that's all a big part of it. 2 other things I'm fishing for. Can anybody remember what I talked about? A bit of humour helps, definitely. Anybody remember what I was talking about?
Talking about someone else's faith.
Okay. What was her name?
I don't know her name.
I don't think I used it. That's a sin on my part. Okay, how old was she? Where did she come from? Where did she come from?
Kazakhstan.
She didn't, it was Russia actually. I did say that. How does she get on at school?
Not very well.
Yeah?
Very well.
Well, she gets on well with English, but it's difficult with her friends, yeah? Etc., etc. I painted a little picture, okay? An example. An example proves the point. Were those people in Ukraine interesting? Yes, they were. Do you believe me?
No.
Yes, they were. Let me tell you about Oleg, about Veronica, about whatever, whatever, whatever. Tell a little story, prove the point. Yeah? An example kills all argument. You could come back to me and say, no, they're not interesting. I'd say, yes, they are. Do you know how interesting Veronica was? She was this interesting. And you say, yeah, but she was only one. What about the rest of them? They were dull. No, let me tell you about another one, Oleg. Examples kill argument stone dead. It's what Jesus used all the time. All the time. Examples, paint pictures, take me there. I was just about to take you to the apartment next door. What was the apartment next door like? Dark. And that's all I said. And you remember it. So paint the picture. A picture paints 1,000 words. If I can get you to have an image in your mind of what this thing looks like, yeah, I don't have to explain it all. So I'm using language, you suddenly go, oh, I know what an apartment looks like. Okay, I've got you. It was dark. Okay, I've got you. It was blah, blah, blah. And you're there. You can see it. You can feel it. You believe it. It's going to be more tangible to you. Which I think, hopefully, we've got on here. So this is about delivering the message. You know what you want to say, I think. But can you get the message across? Paint some pictures. Let me paint a picture. Jesus was doing it all the time. Yeah, with his parables. Little picture. Pearl of great price. It's a picture. Talk about examples. The Bible is full of examples. We had a whole list of examples. It's what Peter used straight away to communicate his message to us. Examples that prove the point. Add the colour. Take me all the way there. Show me what it looked like. Really make it live. Make the story real. Control. Who was asking the questions in our interview? Steve. Were you in control, Steve, do you think?
No.
Because I knew what I wanted to say. And that helps a lot. Enthusiasm and personalise it. Make it real. Real comments from real people convince other people to do things. It colours their judgement. okay, that all helps, but we've got to have a focus. And the focus has got to be on the message. What is it I'm trying to get across? I'm trying to get across that the Bible school is fab. Okay? It's really good. I actually failed in delivering my message because what I wanted to say was that you should go. I didn't quite use those words, but I think I painted the picture that proved it. So you need to have a message, and you need to use these techniques to deliver it. Okay, so what makes a good message? Skip that. Big Bible messages. What makes a good message? What do you think makes a good message? Digestible, understandable, clear, coherent, all of those things, absolutely. I agree.
Something that matters.
Something that matters, yeah. It's relevant. Yeah. Painting a picture, yeah. All builds it up, okay. Okay, just got to check where I am. Okay. What makes a good message? Really good message. Okay, quick group exercise. Yeah, I'll do this. I want you, just in little groups, to have a look at the newspapers of today and tell me what is the best story, best message in there. Okay? So, please take one pass from on. You might have to cluster around the newspapers. This is what the rest of the world is looking at. We could have done this for 5 stories, but let's have news stories. What's the best story in there?
Election next week.
Has anybody got a good story?
No.
One they'd bother to read. It doesn't have to be a good news story. It's just a story that you would bother to read, okay? Has anyone got one? Tom's got one. Tell us, Tom.
Never mind the slam dunk, this is slam trunk. And it's an elephant scoring basketball.
An elephant scoring
basketball.
Yeah. Elephant scores basketball, okay? Good stuff. Okay, anybody else got one? I need 6. One from each group. One from each group. Go on, what's your story, Joyce?
Say again.
Torturers need understanding. Okay. Come on. Yep. Excellent. Good. You're way ahead of me. You're way ahead of me. Okay, another one, Dave. Come on, who hasn't made a decision yet? This group here. Duncan. Story? Which one are you choosing? Which story would you volunteer?
The story about low-priced beer in the supermarket.
Being replaced by low-priced food?
No. Trying to stop...
Yep. Okay, good one. And the story here, decision, here we go. Yeah. And it is a quarter of US grain crop.
It's the big cars, not people.
Yep, okay.
How do you find a car?
Bioethanol made out of grain. It's brewed into alcohol. Okay, so if you could just focus back on me, which is the best story? I've got six stories. An elephant scores in basketball, story number one. You've got to choose the best of these, okay? That's for you to decide. Child torturers need understanding. Big brother is watching you on the internet. Good parenting is needed in this nation. Low-priced beer is causing problems. And a quarter of US grain is used to fuel cars. Which is the best story? The elephant? I've got to vote for the elephant.
Good parenting.
Good parenting. Parenting. I've got a question here. What does best mean?
Best in what respect?
It's okay.
Understanding the young
tearaways is the one you like. Anybody else? So nobody's interested in the low beer. Sorry, Duncan. Personal interest. It goes out of the window. Anybody interested in that one? No, we'll ditch that one. That's good. Quarter of the US grain feeds US cars. Nobody's bothered about that, really. Okay.
The drivers.
I'm sure all those newspapers that we looked at had something in the first couple of pages about the disaster in Haiti. I'm sure they did. And it's interesting that out of all of us, nobody picked that.
No, but that's fair enough.
Good, very relate to these things.
Yeah. But I asked for you to come up with the best story, and you're all having a bit of a dilemma about what makes best, yeah? What makes best? I'm going to help you here. Are we going to go for the child torturers, or the elephant scoring in basketball? Elephant, child torturers.
If we're wanting to talk to people about concepts, then it's the child torture.
Yeah.
That's
really
sure
about. It's not that critical. even though I made it seem it was. I think that what makes a good story is this acronym. It's really, really powerful because the truth needs to run through the story, okay. Needs to be a true story, otherwise people aren't interested, they're not interested in nonsense. We can start thinking about other issues, about how the truth runs through the story. But these are five key words that you need to harness to communicate with other people. If you do this, you'll do what the newspapers do, and they sell to millions. Yeah? So if they can do it, so can we. So how can we do it? What are these five key words here that we can harness? You've all been talking about them in these stories. I do like it when people start at the top. Look at that, topical. What did Jesus talk about that was topical? It was things that were timely. When it was harvest time, he talked about harvest. When it was in cities where the Romans were and they're causing trouble, he talked about that. Festivals, he talked about the festival of the moment. We can pick up topical issues, as you all have been. Child torturers, yeah? We can get onto that. That's something we can leverage to get connection with our audience. Okay, then somebody said the next word rather beautifully. What have you been on my training course? Relevant. It's relevant. Who's it relevant to? To each of you. That's why Jean was saying, but what's the best story? What do you mean best? Best for you. You're the reader, and you're the reader, and you're the reader. And each listener is individual and different. And we can't just blanket message everybody. It doesn't work. It was said earlier this morning that actually one size fits all doesn't work. You make it relevant to individuals. Jesus spoke to farming communities, to fishing communities, to building area, you know, capstones and foundations. Where do you use that sort of language? With the people that understand. And we need to do the same. We need to make our message relevant to people's lives. Yeah, we know that, but this just helps us. This is the biggest and best, the U word. Anybody?
Useful.
Useful, hopefully. Tom was right onto this one with his elephant scores in basketball, and Marcus as well. It's the unusual. The unusual captivates people's interest. Yeah? Man bites dog. Dog bites man. One's a story, one isn't. Yeah? And it's the unusual. Airplanes landed successfully at Heathrow today. When that's a story, then you worry. Yeah?
I don't understand how women are unusual.
Oh my goodness. You haven't worked it out yet. Jesus spoke to women, which he wasn't supposed to. And people went, hmm, that's interesting, why is he doing that? Miracles happened. Okay, you can't get much more unusual than that. Jesus spoke to outcasts. It was unusual. You wouldn't expect him to do that. Two more. And one of these is the worry factor, and the other one is something that you're all missing in shed loads, because it's what makes stories work. Okay, it makes communication work. Any ideas? What do we have on here? Child torturers, big brother watching on the internet, good parenting, low beer prices and a quarter of grain. Five of the stories contain this. Terror. Definitely in the right direction. Trouble. I'll make do with trouble. Terror makes great stories because we're worried about it. Trouble makes great stories because it's a natural human instinct. We want to know and understand. So Jesus talked about oppressive rule. He talked about the difficulties of religion. He talked about trivialities like tax. But they're troublesome issues. Yeah? Now, does that mean we go straight for Trinity? Not necessarily. But we might come in on the back of the trouble in society at the moment with parenting. Is it an issue or isn't it an issue? How can we use that to get to something? And then the last one, the H word. And this is, I want to get this one across really strongly. Hope, hope, heart is working towards it. Child torturers.
Hope.
Humour, hope. Child torturers.
Humanity.
Human interest. We're talking to people. We're talking to people. Talk to the people. Jesus talked to people. They needed healing, physically, spiritually. They needed help. They needed support. Human interest. When I was talking to Steve, the bits that engaged, hopefully, your interest, were when I was talking about the people. Yeah, it's about people. Was the room hot or cold? Neither here nor there. The people were frozen. That matters. Yeah? It's about the people. So when we're talking, we need to make that a big part of how we talk to them. And I think sometimes we or our community is guilty of ignoring the human interest. Actually trampling on that and saying, look, it's in your interest to understand this. This is the word of God. Just take it from me and understand it. Actually, yes, that is in their interest, but it's not in their inside their mind, their interest. As an individual, they want to know, how do I get education for my kid? Yeah? How do I get food on the table? How am I going to rebuild my house? That's what matters to them. Human interest. And Jesus spoke to that need, and then off the back of that said, and actually, there's more to it than that, there's this. So you walk into it that way. Okay, bit of a lecture there, but hopefully you get it. You can see this is an acronym as well. Is it an acronym or an acrostic? I can never remember the difference. Prepare. So we do need to prepare what we're going to say, even if it's the microsecond before we open our mouths, or whether it's actually preparing because we're going to a party with people who aren't from our community and we know we're going to be amongst them. How are we going to get a message across? Are we just going to rely on it popping into our mind at the time? Or might we just think about the audience? Yes, they're from work. That means they're journalists. That means they'll be interested in this approach. Or I'm meeting with people from the village. It's a social thing. They're village folk who live in Sussex, and so I'll go with this approach. We can play to the audience. We make it relevant to them. We think about our message. What do we want to say? We think of some examples to prove it. And you know that the personal ones work best. When I was in Ukraine, I saw this. And then we think about the negatives. Why do we do that? They're the ones that fill us with fear. What do I mean by this? I mean, yeah, but you don't believe in the Trinity, do you? You know, it's the ones that we know people will say to us. Yeah, but you don't believe in heaven, do you? You know, it's the challenging questions. We need to prepare for those, okay? I'm going to suggest that you don't necessarily have to address them in the way that you think you have to. Whew. Let's have a little picture. I think that all communication is pyramid shaped. It should be. Too often we make it a different shape. The beauty about the pyramid is it has a point at the top. That's what it's all about. There's a point to me talking to you. I want to get something across to you. It's the main message. Okay, that's the point. Think of a newspaper story. It's the headline. It's the bit at the top, and that's meant to be a hook. I like to think of a fishing hook with a barb on it. You want to hook the person's interest and hook them in a way that they won't let go. Yeah? you've actually bar-hooked them. So you hook their interest with something really engaging, yeah? Really fascinating. And then you give them a quick summary of the story. So this is what I kind of felt, And then you can, if you've still got them listening to you, then you can get stuck into your evidence and examples. Don't we all too often start the other way around? Let me take you to Luke chapter 2, verse. That's the evidence and the examples. What's the point we're trying to make? Let's start at the top with the human interest and get them on board. But somewhere over here is some dangerous territory. It's the negative message. It's the stuff that we don't really want to talk about. Now, if all through what we want to talk about is all proving your main point at the top, I need a pointer really. No, I won't worry. It's the bit at the top. If we're trying to prove that and everything we say sticks to that, then when they ask the negative question, we go, actually, do you know what? This is the main point. This is what I want to really get across to you. Yeah, we could talk about the Trinity, but I want to talk about this great experience I had and how you can benefit too. And we do that by looping back to the core message. But we can't do that if we haven't planned and thought what it is we really want to say. So it works in exhortations, it works in conversation. It might seem rather mechanical, and actually conversation is something that happens naturally, isn't it? Yes. But Jesus had conversations with a purpose, with an objective. Maybe we should too. Maybe we should think about what Jesus did. I hear your question about taxes to Caesar, but actually, the point I want to make is back over here. Yeah? So this is something that Jesus did, I believe. Don't necessarily focus on this. Focus on what you want to say. Happy to take questions, by the way, at any stage. Another little picture. This might or might not work, and you're going to wonder what's going on here. I want to convey the idea of, here we are here, standing on the bank of a river, and it contains sharks. Okay? It's not a devil with horns about to come out of the river. Don't worry, that's not what I'm trying to say. But it's sharks. And I think you've got a question coming, and it's the one you don't really want to have to address. So, what are you going to do with that question? Somebody in conversation says, yeah, but what about?
Throw it back the other side.
Throw it back the other side. How would you actually do that?
With another question.
With another question, okay. Interesting approach. We'll come on to that one.
I'm coming to that point in a moment.
I'm coming to that point in a moment. Oh, that's good. We'll come to that in a moment. What are we inclined to do? What is the big temptation? Maybe we are inclined to answer the question, which of course is not what you want to do, because you know you're going to get a mauling over it. You know, maybe you'll want to discuss that with this person at a later date, but you decided you want to say something else at the moment. What you want to talk about is over here. I want to talk about the great time I had in Ukraine and the young brothers and sisters there. I don't really want to get stuck into doctrine and whether I believe something or not. So I'm not going to answer. So I'm going to throw a question back, but they'll throw one back. So there's a danger there. I could just ignore the question and take a great, which is kind of what you say, a great leap of faith and try and jump across. Now, does that work? Do you think it works? Is that what politicians do? Anybody listen to Radio 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the morning, John Humphreys.
They never answer the question.
Never answer the question. How do you feel? Frustrated, angry, agitated. How do you think people who we talk to feel when we ignore their question? Yeah, it's a legitimate question. They sincerely want to know what we believe in the Trinity. Why we don't. Yeah. So, can we ignore it? No, we can't. Can we answer it? It's too dangerous. What are we going to do? I think, and this is, I think what Jesus did, acknowledge the question. Do you know what? Taxes are important. Yeah? Do you know what? I acknowledge the issue. I'm not going to get stuck into a big long answer. I acknowledge what you're saying, but do you know what? I'm going to build a bridge to get over here. Oops, I'm a little bit too far. And how do we build the bridge? I acknowledge that the Trinity is a big issue, and it's something I'd love to talk to you about. It's a big topic, though, and probably we ought to just to organise a bit more time, fudge it, find a reason, or even contrive a link with what you want to say. Do you know what, Trinity, I was amazed. I was in Ukraine, and one of the brothers from Russia was wanting to ask about that. We had a bit of a chat about it. It wasn't really very conclusive. But one of the big things in Russia was actually the young people and their willingness to get baptised. And then you start talking about that. So you're looking a bit sceptical, I can tell. But it's this idea of going over the bridge, thinking of something else to say. Let's see whether it does work. Need another participant. We don't have to come up here. Everybody can have a go at this. Write down something, anything, anything at all, on a piece of paper, and we'll see whether this concept works. What I want you to write down is a little statement, which is your message, your content. It might be, it's a grey day, I'm looking forward to lunch, I wish the speaker would sit down. Anything you like, just write something down. Okay? So some of you are doing that, which is great. And you know what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to ask you a question. And your objective is to get to what you want to say using my question. To acknowledge it and build a little bridge to get across, to join it up. It might be a hop, skip and a jump, yeah? You can't ignore my question and just go, well, actually, I'm waiting for my lunch. That doesn't work. You mustn't answer my question, because you'll never get to talk about your desire for lunch if you answer my question. So my question is, and I'm going to direct it. Tom, have you got anything written down? No? Barbara has.
Well done, Barbara.
Barbara, my question to you, which you will use my question to get across to what you want to say in a contrived sort of way. My question is, don't you think there's still a very good chance that Liverpool Football Club will win the Premiership this season? Don't you think that that's the case? Now you're going to pause for a little bit of thought. And you might have team players working with you outside. And you're going to acknowledge the question. Yeah? Excellent. Good. Okay, I hear your question about Liverpool, and you know what? I'm not a big football fan. I mean, I kind of hope that, you know, if you're a supporter, maybe they will win. But, you know, for me, fitness, I don't get into football fitness. I like going for a walk, and that's something we're going to do this afternoon. Do you know where we're going for our walk? We're going somewhere really interesting, and you're talking about your walk and not Liverpool. Can you see the process? Okay, that's massively contrived. That's extremes. And we won't have that because we'll be talking about our faith, possibly. But you can see how you can get from one thing to the other without having to answer the question. I don't know a lot about that. Excellent. Gotcha. So, here's the next idea. Daniel. You see what I'm working towards. A, B, C, D. Okay. Simple folk. Journalist. So, you've got to dangle the next question. This is the way that you really start to steer the conversation. I would love to be able to give you an example of how Jesus did this, but I haven't done the research to find that. I'm sure it's in there, where you set something up. And I was trying to set Steve up to ask me about the best thing that happened during the week. Because three times I said, but actually, do you know what? It was such a fantastic week, and the best thing came later on. And dangling the idea, ask me what happened later on in the week. It was a really great week, and the culmination came on the Tuesday, or whenever it came. Dangle, dangle. So you dangle the question. And if you do that, it allows you to get your example in. Yeah, the example was Veronica's baptism, and that was the best thing. And then I'm talking about her faith and where I want to be. So A, B, C, D, E, cross me out. Nice, simple version. Knowledge. Build a little bridge. This is why I want to move the conversation on. I don't want to get bogged down where you are. I want to talk about my content, and I'm going to make you ask me a question about it so that I can talk even more about it. It's a process. You can see well-trained commentators on radio and TV doing this. And they are the ones, they're the Blairs, love or hate them. They're the Camerons, love or hate them, who are competent communicators. Jesus was the best communicator,
and we can emulate this for that reason.
Whoa! There we go. We talked a little bit earlier about repeating, reinforcing, positive rebuttal. Keep going with your message. Don't get knocked off. It's having that confidence to keep going. If you've planned it and thought what you want to say, you'll keep going. And then we come to this sort of a problem. And it's totally wrong to put non-English up there, isn't it? Because it's not about non-English. It's about other language. Okay, my mistake. So how easy is this?
Speak louder and louder until they understand.
And I'm not going to put Cena on the spot here. But to be a speaker in a foreign country, when they're all speaking their native tongue, how do you feel?
Isolated.
So you walk into this room, we're all talking in English. How do you feel? You walk into a room in another country and they're all speaking their language. How do you feel?
An outsider.
It's worse than that, isn't it? How do you feel? Inadequate, inferior. How do you feel? Keep going. Inadequate. Helpless?
I can't get a single word for it, but you feel as if they're talking about you.
You worry that they might be talking about you. So what? Paranoid. They might be, but just because they aren't doesn't mean to say I shouldn't be worried. Yeah? But they probably aren't. Yeah. The point is that all our insecurities come bubbling up, don't they? Yeah? We worry about things that are imaginary. Yeah? This language barrier. So we've got to overcome that. Language actually collapses the love we're trying to extend to somebody. You know, we're all having a loving conversation. The person that walks in has no idea. They can't tell. I've heard Ukrainians and Russians speaking, and I thought they were arguing.
Yeah.
And I said to Duncan afterwards, what were they arguing about? He said, they were agreeing with each other. They just were so passionate about it, and they speak like this. And you think, oh my goodness. So we need this, because of trying to take our word outside English-speaking areas. We need to address this. So how are we going to do that? We've got to think of some ways of doing it. And I've put a few ideas up there. Some which will seem a little bit bizarre. Simplified messages, obviously. We need to squeeze it down so that somehow or another the message gets across. Any message will do. I will tell people I came on the aeroplane. It's a connection. How did you come? Yeah? You can do it. You don't have to use words. And people won't think you're stupid. Okay, you might think I'm stupid because you're English. But you would love it if somebody came to you, and they couldn't speak, but they at least said, I've got four children. You know, you're going to get some connection. So try to do something. Pictures are an obvious one. Take a picture of you, your family, your workplace, you know, stuff that tells a bit of a story about you. And I get this wrong time and again. And I'm sitting there with Veronica, 15, says she wants to be baptised, and I'm thinking, how can I tell her something about me? Get the laptop out, find some decent pictures. Here's my boy, here's his school. You know, okay, it's Western, it's affluent, it's all of those. But that's who I am. That's true. I'm not rubbing your nose in it. I'm just saying that's me. And just extending that. And actually, I try to use pictures that are people pictures rather than stuff pictures. So you get a nice close-up, a family shot, that sort of thing. I put maps up there. I was absolutely amazed at the power of a map for communication. I've communicated with every brother and sister in Ukraine because I put that on the table. And whether they spoke Russian, English, or whatever, they love to point out where they come from. And they will look all over the map and they write on it. You can't quite see it, but there's writing all over it. This is where I was born. They write their name on, and then they write their name somewhere else. And you think, well, how does that work? What, you need to live in two places? And then somehow you find out that actually he's across the border, he's in Poland. And that was when he was young, because he's doing this. And then you've got the guns, and it was during the war. No words. Maps, hugely powerful. They love them to bits. And get the best one you can possibly afford. Because they said, wow, that's amazing. amazing. You have these maps of our country and your country. We don't have them like that. So they love it. And what does it cost? £8 in the airport? That's worrying. Picks of people, contact details. Why wouldn't I give them my email and phone number and address? Of course I would. It makes me real tangible. They go, oh, it's near London? It's a conversation. You know, you started something happening. Prepared words on cards. Nice idea. You've got to get the right words, though. And I'll come on to that in a minute. Translation. Dictionaries, Russian dictionaries, Cyrillic script. It's all getting a bit of a headache. But use an expert just to prepare one or two words. Hey, Duncan, Cindy, just jot a few down. Hi, how are you? I come from England. Just, you know, that helps. Key words. We could think about those as well. Rushing on, yep. Blah, blah, blah. Translation. You'll be working through a translator. I've learnt this the difficult way. Very difficult way. Simple messages, simple language, short phrases. Slow down the delivery, Charles. Because if the translator doesn't understand, nobody else is going to. Brief them beforehand. Duh. I'm going to be talking about identity. I'm basing it on Ephesians. Have a quick read of the first 15 verses. It'll help you when we start doing the talk. Actually give them your text in English, or a summary of it. Give them a break as well, because it's harder translating than it is talking. I thought that was a fantastic PowerPoint when I did it in England. I thought I'd done so well. If you can't see, it's Cyrillic script, it's Russian, and it's Ephesians chapter 1, the first 15 verses. I was so proud of myself, because I put it into Google Translate, and it came out with that. I thought, yes! And they looked in there, and it was total gibberish. Utter rubbish. And one of the best bits was on another slide, where I had God speaks to us. And Google, being Microsoft, translated as God spoke to the USA. Russian-speaking audience with a picture of Mauricio in front of the Western Wall. So don't do that. That's probably the best you can go for. Our identity as the heading, so I'm pretty confident in those words. Isaiah I've put in English, so I'm doing it through the translator and then just a few verses, but even that I think is too dangerous. Does it? Okay. That's a good piece of advice. So live and learn. Did everybody get that? Go on Bible Gateway. This, of course, works better speaking from the heart, just speaking, rather than having lots of prepared material. Here's my little one slide that really worked. Who are you? Two words, big question mark. And that worked. And if you give them a Bible reference, they're quite capable of looking it up and finding it and having a discussion. And you can get great discussions going just by throwing some ideas at them. So you don't have to do all the talking, as I'm sure you're all well aware. Get them into little groups. And I was told, no, Homo Sovieticus, Russian man, will never work in a group. They will never cooperate like that because they're too separate. It's rubbish. Christians will get around the Bible and they will talk about it just like we would. That one worked okay. It just says, Poltava Bible School gives my name in their language. I think that's a good one to do. Who are you? Just the Bible reference, Noah, John. No book of Noah, is there? Pictures again, that's the word says passport. Images, of course, work. More images. This was complicated. It's complicated in English. You know I like these acronym things. Chocolate, Christ Hope of Christian Orientated Living, and Truth Eternal. But translating that into Russian, just taking a few words at a time, got the concepts across. They loved it, because it was about chocolate, and we handed chocolates out, and it gets people buying into it. Reference list, nice easy thing to put up. And then I was going to spend the next half an hour on new media, but I've got 4 minutes, so I'll just say this. Conversations, communication, it's best face-to-face because we can give the body language, we can extend the love, we can be close to people. But more and more we're using electronic media, and I know that all these talks will go onto the website as voice files. That's really good. But I've been speaking, we've all been speaking, for over an hour and a half. Is anybody going to sit down and listen to that? The true enthusiast might, from another country. But actually, if we can chop it up and make it more like the sort of media that they consume, that would be better. YouTube, yep, that's great. Email, SMS text, little short messages. Dead easy. Send a text to your friends in other countries. Why wouldn't we do it? I don't understand. Facebook, Bebo groups, all that stuff. Yes, we can work with that. Twitter. I don't know if you know about Twitter. It's this 140-character messaging. It controls the length of your message. You develop a following. People like to hear what you're saying. It does work if you get a community. And then, is it christquestion.com or .org? I don't know. We can put services on the web that really pull people into what we do. You guys know far more about that than I do. I think you've had most of the question time. But anything I can...
I really think we need to do these pictures, which we've found that works. We have good artists who could pictorially show with a scriptural reference what you're on about.
Yeah.
That would be a very useful...
Well, I was very struck by Peter's talk. You had visuals of most of the stories that you referred to, the examples, and finding those, it does help. It gets the message across so quickly. And we have a real dearth of images that we use. Well, we don't use images in Christadelphia, do we, really? Because it's, oh, you mustn't have an image, that's not the right thing to do. I think we're kind of missing the point. It's a tool that we use for a purpose. We're not worshipping the image. We're just saying, there's a picture that shows what went on. So I think you're absolutely right.
All the artists out there get going.
Lunchtime beckons.
Okay, getting that way.
Any points anybody wants to make? That's good.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's brilliant. So now we're moving towards lunch. Before lunch, we will just have a prayer, and I'll ask Mark to lead us in that in a minute. And after that, we'll listen to a presentation, a musical presentation by Robin. So if we can now have a prayer and then just remain seated while Robin gives us his presentation. So Mark, would you please lead us in
prayer? Dear God, our Heavenly Father, hallowed be your great and holy name. Thank you for this time studying communication. We know and believe that you've communicated with man right from the beginning in the garden. Lord, we know and believe that because of man's pride and his aspirations to reach the heavens, that you have confused the original language, and we've struggled ever since. So Lord, we thank you for your communication to us in creation, in the Word, the Bible we believe is your holy Word, and most of all, the Word made flesh, Lord Jesus. And we know he is the great and complete communicator, and we can actually reach you in heaven through him, Lord, in humility, not pride, as they did in David. Lord, we studied this part of man's existence called communication, and we realize how important it is when we communicate with other people, especially our beliefs. So we ask that you will help us to be, and we will support, we help each other to be sincere and true, to be interesting, not hypocritical, not to turn people away, and to know when to speak and when to stop, and when to listen. Bless the rest of this afternoon, this weekend, dear Lord, that will be as interesting as it has been up to now, and the discussions have been lively, and may we will be uplifted and turned into better people, more willing to serve you, to spread the gospel, to communicate our hope and our belief, and to become more like our Lord Jesus. This time, Lord, we are mindful of the dreadful things that are going on in the world, the hunger and the horror of homelessness in Haiti. We pray for a blessing on those and those that are helping, and on our little ecclesia, or ecclesias, all the believers there especially. They will maintain faith that the right things will get there, there will be no corruption, no stealing, no aid turned away. Why can you remember the right time? With this in mind, Lord, that there are people's helplessness and suffering, we know that we are so fortunate to be able to eat together and be prepared for us. thank you for this, and ask you to bless it for your use, and to always be considerate of those who are less fortunate in our country of excess and waste. Well, prayer, Lord, and all our prayers, and may we continue to communicate, as we've talked before, our communication with you must be paramount. May we continue to pray together, as families, singly, and as ecclesias, to you and to listen as well. And I pray for Jesus, for the sake of the Amen. Thank you again. So, very interesting talk, Charles, and the thoughts that we get from you.
Well, thank you, Charles, for your talk on communication. I got quite a lot out of that. That's not the faint phrase it sounds like. To me, words are not a natural medium for communication. I don't communicate well with words. You can't communicate with me. A natural medium for me for communication, in a total way, is music. And what I wanted to play for you.